Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm well.
That's it? That's all you got
for me? Well, I mean, this is... We've had to start over a couple times. Apparently, yeah. I had some hot levels.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I've heard that, by the way.
No. And see, now you seem too hot again. I mean...
It's a problem I face daily.
This is level. We're talking levels here, folks.
I was complaining that last week Lou's voice was much louder than mine, and I know it's his ongoing
you don't even know where you're going with this, do you?
No. He's right. Trying to control
you,
me.
No, I turned you down a little bit because you were still a little bit too hot, but I think we're good now. I think we're good. If you start yelling for any reason, just back off from the mic a little bit.
All right, you back off, mister.
Okay. All right, so first of all, some shout-outs. Thank you very much to everyone who has subscribed on iTunes. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. And
leave a review, please.
And do leave a review. And also, thanks for those of you who have friended us on Facebook. If you haven't done that, please stop by. Just do a search for pause.com on Facebook, and you'll find our page. Go on there and add us as a friend. We would love to see you on there. Thanks to those of you who have done that already, and special thanks to Yvonne, Joe, and Chris, who all left us notes in the last few days on Facebook, especially to Chris, who informed us that he does give his friendship freely. We're very happy about that. We need all the friends we can get. Don't forget, you can email us at podcast@pause.com, and remember, at the end of the show, to listen for our best and worst entertainment moments of the week.
I say nothing to that.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so we're going to get right into talking about video games. What have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a little Killzone 2, as I alluded to last week. It came out last week, and it's good. It's well, I say that because there's really nothing groundbreaking about it. I mean, the graphics are great.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's
Tell people a little bit about, again.
It's a first-person shooter.
Okay.
It's,
what's the concept, theme, whatever? Setting.
It takes place in the future, and you're trying to. They're kind of like futuristic Nazis,
like 2050 or like next Wednesday.
Yeah, like, you know, 2050.
Oh, the Hellgast.
I don't know the exact dates.
No, I don't know, but sometime in the future.
And I had said before when I said I'd play the demo that it somehow reminded me a little of Half-Life 2.
Right.
No, absolutely not. Really? Yeah, I don't think you would like this game, to be honest.
Is it too war-ish?
It is. Okay. It is. It's very similar to Call of Duty 4,
which I've not played.
But it's very military.
Yeah.
It's very war. But it's a lot of fun. I will say that it gets the combination right of cover and then and run in and shoot.
Like, yeah.
Gears of War, like I've said before, you know, there's just too much cover.
Too much cover, yeah.
Here, you know, there's an ample amount of cover, but, I mean, you're not stuck.
Do you have to, though?
Yeah. I mean, not...
Because if you don't, you'll just die.
I mean, it's just much harder. I mean, you can just run in and start shooting, but you're not going to, you know, you're
right,
not going
to
be successful.
Survive. Right. What's the thing about the game that sets it apart that everyone was thinking it was going to be the PS3's first killer title?
The graphics, first of all.
Okay.
And because PS3 really didn't have an exclusive title that was, you know, that was landmark, like
right.
whether it be Gears of War or Halo. They haven't had that. I mean, all the Resistance tried, but it was just, you know, it was mediocre.
Yeah. What about that adventure game that you were talking about? The one with
Uncharted?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that one. But I'm saying, as far as a first person shooter.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
They haven't really had one that's taken off, and this one could. But like I said, there's really nothing new here.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff we've seen, but it's just done very well.
Was it? To the point where you're disappointed with it because you thought it was going to be. It's still fun.
But
it's just
I'm not,
not
blown
as,
away by
right,
it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I probably will not be playing that. Anything else about it that you want to specifically
well,
mention?
Well,
it's really cool,
you know,
or you're still
I'm
getting
probably
into
not
it?
Even halfway through it. So.
No. But so that's pretty far, though.
Well,
I mean,
I'm
if
saying
you're,
not even. So, I mean, it could be like an
1%. Okay. All right.
I opened the box.
But, I mean, is there anything either in gameplay or anything like that that you can say, oh, this is really cool, I've never seen it before, or not really?
Not so far.
Okay. Well, that's bad news for Killzone 2.
No, but I don't want to say
we're announcing
it
right
it.
Here, RIP, Killzone 2, early grave,
no,
sales
no,
are
no.
going to tank, and the company that made it's probably going to go out of business.
Wow. I didn't say any of that.
Okay. The only thing that I've played that I hadn't played before this was I saw an ad somewhere for a game called Puzzle Quest Galactrix, and I think I had read a review of it that said it was pretty good. And it's another, you know, desktop kind of, you know, casual game kind of thing. And so I was hoping that it would be at least as addictive as the various incarnations of Bejeweled. because I know how much you
love it. I have a lot to say here. I didn't even see that this was your pick.
Yeah.
And did you ever play the, I don't know if it's the original Puzzle Quest, but the earlier Puzzle Quest?
No, I've never played any games in the series.
I was so addicted to that on Xbox Live.
Well, wait a minute. Then how come you always make fun of Bejeweled?
Because at least with Puzzle Quest, there was like
a story,
a story and a goal. And there were different, you know, there were different spells that right. you could do with how many of the, you know, gems you had.
Okay.
Whereas Bejeweled, it's just, you know, yeah, it's just like, mindless.
Right. Well, that's true.
I loved Puzzle Quest.
So have you seen this one?
I have seen it. I have not played it though.
Okay.
I think it comes out, like, if it hasn't already, I think it comes out on Xbox Live within the next couple weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't. Oh, you mean you think maybe only the demo's out so far?
Okay, maybe it's out.
I don't know. I mean, I have the demo. I didn't buy the full game, but it's not bad. It's pretty challenging, and there is a story that goes along with it. You know, it's set out in space, and you have a little spaceship that you guide around sort of an overhead view of a bunch of planets in a system, and then you go to a planet or an asteroid or something, and you get a new quest, and then that quest involves playing the.
It sounds the same as the original Puzzle Quest, only that was like in medieval times.
Okay, right. The place down the road?
No, not the place where you eat chicken and they joust.
And you're supposed to call the server wench.
Right.
Yeah, don't go to that place. That's just a little friendly advice for free that we like to offer on this show. In fact, business must be terrible there because I saw recently I was at some restaurant and they had these coupons there that you could go for free. For like a month, you could go to Medieval Times for free. It wasn't even like, you know, pay for an adult and you get a kid in free. No, it was everyone for free.
Why aren't we there?
Here's what I don't understand.
That's where we could have gone for lunch.
Here's what I don't understand. If you did that, why would you ever go back and pay for it again? Because it's not like you're going to be like, oh man, this place is awesome. I can't wait to go back.
Right.
It's medieval times.
Right.
It's people jousting. It smells like poo inside the building. I mean, they're real horses. They're not messing around.
Pass the chicken.
Exactly. What's that sauce? But I mean, it's ridiculous. You really have to be into the whole medieval thing to like that place.
Even if you're into it, it's so hokey.
It is so hokey. I mean, I've never been to one of those.
But I have to say, drinking a drink from a large goblet,
yeah,
very satisfying.
But you could just buy a goblet. And do that at home.
Yeah, but not with people jousting in front. There's no jousting at your house. There's some jousting. Yeah.
We've got secrets. But anyway, that was a huge digression. But anyway, the game itself was actually pretty fun. I mean, the puzzle part of it. It took me, you know, a couple minutes to figure out what was going on because I had never played it before.
Does it have the same thing with the spells where like you get a certain amount of gems?
Well, see, I don't know because I didn't play the originals. But there is a thing where you get like power ups that you can add to your ship, and that's probably the same kind of thing.
Right.
Like for instance, the ships. You know, when you're playing the game, basically what you're doing is battling an enemy ship.
Right.
And so you take a turn, and then they take a turn.
It's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then you get power-ups. Like I got some, you know, special laser that whenever you get red gems, it powers that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so then you can, you know, you've got more shots for your laser to deplete the enemy shields and stuff like that. I thought it was pretty cool. The thing that I didn't like about it was the number of clicks that you have to do to get through the story. So like, for instance, you might click on a planet and then somebody will come up and you'll have a little conversation. There might be three or four clicks in that. And then when you're done with the conversation, you got to click on the planet again to get your quest. It's like, well, why not just give it to me after the thing's over?
Right.
You know, why make me click on it over and over again?
I did find that annoying in the first one. Well, you know, I just wanted to get to the gameplay. So, you know, all the little, like, the old English speaking was like, it became aggravating. So I just would click through the conversations. I mean, I wouldn't even read them.
Right.
Just
right.
click through and
click ye old.
Just get me to the game.
Click ye old left mouse button to move a gem. Gems will, I don't know. I don't even know how you would say that in old English, but I could see how that would be annoying.
Right.
But I did notice in the menu, though, that there's a quick challenge thing. So maybe you can just skip all the story if you just
want
to play the game. I didn't try that, but I saw that it was in there. So
let me also add that I'm sure this would have it as well, but there was also where you can play head-to-head with people in the original, head-to-head people over Xbox Live.
Oh, okay. I didn't even look at that. So I don't know.
That was fun.
How that works. The only thing that sucks about it, though, from the standpoint of you playing against an opponent who's the computer, is that, and it's not timed, so I guess it doesn't really matter, but, you know, it's like you look around the board and you make your move, and of course the computer is instantly going to pick the best move and it always seems that the quote-unquote randomness of the gems that come in afterward, they always have these huge cascades when the computer does it, and I do it, and I get nothing.
Right.
So I think the computer cheats for itself, but I'm just saying.
Something you've claimed for years.
Well, it's often been true. That's not, you know, not making stuff up here. You could tell. Because when you do it and nothing happens afterwards, and they do it, and it's like, oh, you matched 600 gems. And
you do know that the opponent is a computer.
I'm just saying. Right. I don't know if it, it came out on February 24th.
Okay.
So it's out. So you can go buy it right after we're done here.
I may, because I was really addicted to the first one. I would stay up late playing that. I mean, it just became, just getting the different spells and.
Right. But one thing I will say that's interesting is the difference in the quality of the graphics and the sound between Puzzle Quest Galactrix and something like Bejeweled Twist, night and day. Yeah. Bejeweled Twist is so slick and smooth and whereas Puzzle Quest Galactrix literally looks like something you might have played 20 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's barely different than that.
I love that this is episode 8 and you've talked about Bejeweled Twist.
I'm trying to do it every episode. So I hope the people at PopCap have something up their sleeves, because after a while I'm going to need a new game.
You're getting a kickback from them, aren't you?
No, I'm not. But that's it. That's all I have to talk about in games. You got anything else?
Nope.
No new iPhone games or anything like that?
No.
You know, I do like Scramboni, which you talked about in a previous episode, but there's really nothing to it.
No, I know.
You know.
No, but I mean, as you get to the higher levels, have you made it to level 3?
No, I'm still on level 2.
I have not either. I'm on level 2. But I do find that it's harder. It gives you harder words.
It is harder, but
have you ever gotten a word and then you're like, you can't figure out what the word is, and then it shows you what the word is, and you're like, I have never heard of that word.
Yeah, there was one just the other day, in fact, where it was, I don't remember, I wish I could remember what it was, but it's like, that's not a real word.
Right, exactly.
It was like frenujg or something. I'm like, what does that mean? Sometimes I get the sense that they're pulling words from maybe other languages on maybe other planets because they seem completely foreign.
Yeah, that's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
It's not.
What I think is really funny is when the word is so obvious, because like maybe occasionally, twice, I think.
They'll switch like just two letters.
Or even one time last week, it was in the right order. Right. So it was just tap, 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 and you're done.
Right.
And then I think it's amusing when you're watching the other players. It's like, you know, KimJ35 has decided to skip this word. What? Not challenging enough? What's up with that? How could they not know what it was? It was in order.
Right.
Yeah, or like you said, if just two letters are transposed and it's really easy.
Right.
But it is, that part of it is fun, is like when you submit your word and then you're waiting to see if somebody submits right after you, because then you don't know if you got it or they got it.
Right.
And what's really disappointing is when you hit it really fast and then somebody clocks in right after you and you're wondering if it's between you or them, and then you're like 6th out of 21. It's like, what? How do people move that fast?
I know.
But anyway.
That's the part that makes it fun, is the playing against the other people, because there aren't many iPhone games that I know of where, you know, you can.
But you know what I don't like about it? I don't like that there's no countdown to when the next round starts, because it seems variable.
Right.
And so so after each round, you know, let's say the round is 40 seconds. So if everyone enters something, it just automatically stops. But then it might be 5 seconds, it might be 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden the next round just starts again and you've got no warning.
Right.
It doesn't say get ready in 3, 2, 1. I don't like that. And I don't like how there's really no, is there really any, you know, do you get anything out of playing it ultimately?
You get like a ranking.
Yeah. Is it up on their website or something? I've never gone to look.
No, on the game. You could go to your ranking. There's a leaderboard.
Overall or just for that particular game?
Oh, overall.
Oh, there is. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then again, of course.
But then again, there's those guys at home that play nothing but Scramboni for 24
hours. The people who are
going to
do the best are the people with no life.
Right.
So that's not fair. Because I don't think the society should be
rewarding
people.
We'll give them that, then. We'll give them that. Okay. That's all they have.
That's fine. I guess they can have it then. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all the losers out there. All right, cool. So we'll be back in a minute, and then we'll talk about TV, and we've got a lot to talk about. So we'll be right back. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV. And normally we would start out talking about Heroes, but neither one of us watched it last night yet.
No.
Not because we don't want to, but because neither of us have had time.
Very busy schedules.
Yeah. What did you get? Have you watched anything recently? Or are you still catching up from last week on stuff?
On Heroes?
On anything in general.
No, I'm pretty up to date.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, I don't have the Monday night bonanza that you have between Medium and
24.
Yeah.
Chuck, Heroes.
The Real Housewives of...
No, I don't even know what that is.
Laguna Beach.
I don't know what that is. What else? There's something... Oh, House... Isn't House usually on?
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff on Mondays. But last night what happened was we watched Chuck, and then Amy wanted to watch The Bachelor finale.
Uh-huh.
The Bachelor three-hour finale.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's another hour on tonight.
Yeah.
Last night was after the final rose, and I guess tonight.
So maybe he'll change his mind again.
Even more after the final rose.
Yeah. After hours of
I think crying. He's going to ask out Chris. I'm pretty sure tonight.
Chris,
he's
is
gonna,
that the guy?
The host, yeah. He's going to dump all the different girls, and he's going to ask out the
after
host.
After many minutes of crying.
Yes. And lots of
shots. I didn't even
shots.
See it. I just saw the clips today on TV. I mean, it's been all... Hey, give them props for... This is probably the
milking
most...
Milking it. Oh, I'm sure, right. I'm sure this has been the biggest season
right.
in a long time. For anyone that doesn't know, anyone who cared already watched it.
Right.
So what happened was he asked the girl Melissa to marry him. And then in the after show, which was filmed, I guess, about 6 weeks after they finished taping the series.
Okay.
He told the host that he didn't like Melissa anymore and wanted to ask out Molly. But first they brought back the girl who dumped him when he was on The Bachelorette. And she wasn't really there to try to woo him back, right? She was just trying to tell him to, you know, make sure you're making the right choice. I think that's what happened. So that was a complete waste of time. But anyway, so...
Let's mention, though, that there was lots of him crying.
Well, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But. Oh, they keep showing it all over.
Okay. So he cried a lot. And
he
then...
He can't feel strong today after
and then
all
he,
this exposure
And then he
he's
dumps
getting.
The girl who he proposed to.
Right.
Who doesn't realize that he's not as in love with her as she thought he was.
Right.
And I guess she kind of freaked out a little bit. And then he tells the other girl that he didn't propose to that he wants to go out with her again. Right. But there's all sorts of rumors about that.
Okay, here's my theory.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right into my theory.
Go right into your theory.
Okay, before the show started, they showed promos, and they showed that he was going to propose to the girl that he picked, and they showed a clip, and they showed her hand. And so all these websites did, you know, were giving spoilers saying that the person that he picked was going to be Melissa.
Right.
Because of a ring she wore.
And this has been going on since basically the first week.
Right.
Because they showed that shot.
First started.
Right.
Right.
So they showed that shot.
Which means
the first
that
week.
It happened before they aired any of them.
Which is true because it finished shooting in November.
Okay.
And it started airing, I want to say, the middle of January, like the 14th or 15th or somewhere around there.
Okay. My theory is that all of this is nonsense. Like, none of it is real. And that he was going to pick Melissa, and that was going to be the end of it. But because everyone knew that it was Melissa he was going to pick, that they threw in this wrench at the end just to kind of like, ha-ha, on all you people who spoiled
And he's vehemently denied that there was anything like that going on. No, I think I had it backwards. I think what it was is I think that the show started right after the new year, and then they filmed the after the rose ceremony, like mid-January, because I think Molly on the show mentioned that she had been watching the show, you know, and watching him with all these other girls, and it was really torturous right. for her, whatever, like we care. And then some people were saying, well, that proves that it was all a setup because how could she have been watching it if, you know.
What's up with Molly's face?
That sounds like a mean thing to say. I don't know. Is that, are you being mean?
I'm going to jump right. Well, there's something going on there. I don't understand.
I just didn't really, I didn't really particularly find her. Oh my God, I can't believe what you're saying here about this poor girl. I mean, here she's just had her heart broken
this
and then
the
unbroken.
This is what the people want.
They want nastiness. I don't know. I didn't think she was that
lovely
great.
Girl. She's a lovely girl. I never even watched. I don't know. I just saw the clip
Oh, you've never
today.
Seen the show?
No.
Oh, I thought you had been watching it.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I didn't think she was that great. I don't know what anyone would see in her. But that's just me. I thought Melissa was adorable. But who knows? Maybe she just wanted to be on TV and this was all just a big, you know.
It all gives me a headache.
Whatever. But it does seem like now they've opened the door to Melissa being the next Bachelorette. But here's what I don't get. I don't know why anyone watches the show for anything other than the train wreck that it is, because the odds of meeting somebody that you get along with well enough that you actually want to marry them in real life are so slim
right.
that the odds of picking from, you know, two dozen people, it's ridiculous. The fact that there's even
That's
been one...
That's why the whole concept is ridiculous.
The fact that there's even been one long-lasting relationship out of, you know, 13 years of two shows is amazing to me.
Right.
I mean, I can't believe the odds were even in their favor enough for that to
well,
happen.
Well, they're both so you know,
lame.
Intolerable.
Yeah.
They're perfect for each other.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, it's just such a dumb concept. It's such a dumb concept. The one that I liked better was that one they did a few years ago where it was like a bunch of people, there were a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls, and then you called in to vote who you wanted to hook up together.
Right.
And then those people had to get together. I think they could actually choose at some point, but I think it was...
Sounds trashier.
It was very trashy, and it was really funny.
See, I'm all for that. I would have watched that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Dial up the trash and I'm in.
Yeah. Really? Is that why you like our show so much? I'm just saying. So that's why we didn't get to watch much else last night. But we did watch Chuck. And it was another good episode, although there were some great moments with Morgan and Ellie, who's Chuck's sister, and Awesome, who's Chuck's sister's boyfriend. There were some really funny moments because what's happening on the show is Big Mike, who runs the Buy More, he's now banging Morgan's mom.
Banging?
Yeah. And so Morgan doesn't want to spend any time at home because he doesn't want to see his boss having sex with his mom. And so he asks Chuck if he can stay with them for a while. And Chuck's like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. But Chuck either didn't know or forgot to tell Ellie and her boyfriend that Morgan sleeps naked. So they wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, there was some funny stuff that happened because Morgan was walking around naked. And then Ellie had some good lines later in the episode that had to do with you know, the whole situation between Chuck and Morgan. But what I didn't like about last night was they introduced a situation that I really hate on shows that have...
Are they jumping the shark?
They're not jumping the shark. But what they did was, okay, you know how on a show when there's two people that, you know, have chemistry and a lot of the basis of the show is will they or won't they
right.
get together?
That's just about any show.
Okay, fine. But on what they're doing is the thing that I hate where they introduce now a third character who, and I don't, early on in the series, that was Bryce, who was Chuck's former roommate. And that was fine because that all happened before the series started. So that's good because it's backstory. But in this case, it was, they were going after a bad guy who turns out to be an MI6 double agent who was undercover. And so he is, you know, a real, you know, slick and smooth kind of guy. And he's trying to woo Sarah. And Ellie has convinced Chuck that he needs to break up with Sarah, even though they're not really going out. You know, that's their cover.
Uh-huh.
So he tells her that he doesn't even want to pretend to be her boyfriend anymore because it's too much lying to everybody, and it just starts hurting his head after a while. So after he does this, now all of a sudden the spy shows up, who the guy's name was Cole Barker, and he was played by Jonathan Cake. And, you know, he's a typical James Bond kind of, you know, handsome, dashing, debonair, good at everything he does kind of guy. And so now they're introducing this storyline because now he's been captured. And next week, they're going to have to go and try to rescue him. And so, of course, Chuck is going to try to have to do something to prove to Sarah that he's a better catch than, you know, this guy because he wants her to like him again.
Right.
But I hate it when they introduce those third wheel kind of things. It's just annoying. It's never fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't like that. So anyway, you want to talk about Lost from last week?
Yeah, I didn't have anything to say there.
That's fine. You don't watch the show.
Lost.
But we have a lot. You know, we actually have a lot of fans who watch Chuck, and that's one of the comments that I see the most is please talk about Chuck more. So, yeah. Joe Romano, this one's for you, my friend. Well, the last one
still
was.
Have nothing to say.
Yeah, Tony still has nothing to say. All right. So anyway, you want to talk about Lost?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
last week's Lost, we find out how Locke ended up dead in the coffin.
Yes.
And you know what? I like it, but I'm confused.
By?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the episode, they show him, and let me get my timelines right because, you know.
Yeah, they jump all over.
It really does jump all over, and I get so confused. But he meets with Widmore in, what was that, like Tunisia?
Yeah, right. Somewhere? Well, the exit point for the island when you turn the wheel is the spot in Tunisia.
Right.
And Widmore knows that he's going
to
be there and has a camera set up.
And then Widmore lets him know that he used to be in charge of the others.
Which we kind of figured might have been the case because we saw when Locke was there, you know, earlier, and he saw Widmore when he
right.
was 17.
But it really, like, then, you know, brings to light the fact that Ben is probably the bad guy. You still don't know who the bad guy is.
Right, because you can't trust either one of them because they've both done despicable things.
Exactly.
But in Widmore, on Widmore's side of it, is the fact that we know that Dharma was there before the others got there. And Widmore was there with Dharma.
Right.
Right? Wasn't he? Or was he not? Was he one? Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Was he part of Dharma? I want to say he was part of Dharma.
Oh, shoot. Now I can't remember.
I know. It's so
confusing. Was Richard ever part of Dharma? or not?
No.
Then Widmore wasn't either, because Widmore was there with Richard. Okay, so I guess they were others. Yeah, I still want to know where the others came from and why they felt the need to take the island away from Dharma in the first place.
Well, it was Ben who initiated that, wasn't it? Didn't Ben kill his father? Wasn't Ben's father part of Dharma? And then,
but
Ben...
even when Locke was back when Widmore was 17 and Richard was there, they were already shooting people, and Ben wasn't there yet.
Well, Ben was there as a kid.
Right, but I mean, he wasn't there as somebody who would go around starting to kill people.
Oh, I can't keep it straight.
Okay, so anyway. So Widmore says...
So blotty.
Right. Widmore says to Locke, I'm the good guy, Ben's the bad guy.
Right.
And...
Bring the people back to the island. So he tries to convince the people... I'm going to wrap it up here. Yeah. He tries to convince the people.
You got somewhere else to be? What the hell's going on here?
I know that trying to think of this, you know, think this through, we could talk forever and not get anywhere.
Okay.
So he tries to convince, you know, the Oceanic Six to come back, and he's not having any luck. And
didn't you think it was interesting, though, that one of the people he went to talk to was Walt, who was not part of the Oceanic Six, but was obviously on the plane originally. So you would think that he would have to go back. But that was never mentioned last week in the episode where, you know, Ben and the crazy lady were telling them, you know, you must reproduce as closely as possible the conditions on the plane the first time you went to the island.
Right. Except
for small black kids. Forget about them. Just let them stay in school. It's all about the children.
Okay. I totally lost my train of thought there.
Okay, so Widmore, I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. Go round up the other six.
He doesn't have any luck. And then...
He can't convince anyone.
Right. And then, through a course of events, wants to kill himself.
Right.
But my question here
Do we remember why he wanted to kill himself? Just because he... Because
he had failed.
Okay.
That's what I guessed. Well, I don't know. See, part of me thinks maybe it was because he... But maybe he thought that he should be dead because he was told that he was going to die. That he should be dead, and that was, you know, his final attempt to get the people back on the island because he knew they would all come together for his, you know, funeral.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we thought I think we thought the same thing at first, but then it didn't seem like that. Then it seemed like he just wanted to kill himself because he was a failure, like you said, right?
But the thing that I don't understand is Ben comes in, stops him from killing himself, but then kills him. Why didn't he just let him kill himself?
Because Ben didn't know how to get back. And so that's why he needed to keep Locke alive, because he knew that eventually Locke would lead him to the way to get back.
Okay.
So as soon as Locke told him that it was the woman, then Ben didn't need him anymore. Ben never had any intention of letting Locke live. He just needed to use him until he could figure out how to get back.
Okay.
So see, that's why. And then he told him the woman's name, because that's when Ben turned around and killed him.
Epiphany.
Isn't an epiphany if somebody else...
It looks like I'm about to write something down here.
Does it count as an epiphany if somebody else tells you the answer?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm counting
it. So you can have a light bulb moment even if somebody else flicks the switch.
Exactly. Okay, good. Exactly.
So that's what's happened here. But yeah, but...
It's confusing.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
I do get it.
Okay. But that was very cool. It was very cool, all the stuff that transpired. And it's funny when Ben doesn't hide the fact that he's an SOB.
Right.
Like when Locke accused him of killing his driver, and he's like, yes, I did that, you know, because he was going to try to kill you, which is ridiculous because he could have killed him at any time.
Right.
But, you know, again, that's what they are all lying. You got anything else on Lost? So it's very convoluted, but it's fun. It's been good.
Yeah, it has been great.
Okay, you want to talk about American Idol?
Okay.
Last week, of course, was the second group of 12 people, and the ones that made it through were Adam Lambert, who's the guy with all the eye makeup, who sang last. And I have to say, his performance of, what did he sing again?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction. The first half of his performance to me was as bad.
I agree.
As Casey Carlson's performance.
I agree.
If he winked and made one more little vampy move... Here's something I never want to see, whether it's American Idol or anything else. I never want to see a guy shimmying. Okay? That just seems wrong to me.
Well, let me just say, in his defense, though, he's singing a Rolling Stone song, and king of the shimmy is Mick Jagger.
But Mick Jagger is Mick Jagger.
Yeah, but I mean...
That's different. When he shimmies, It's.
I will give him. I'll forgive the
shimmy.
I
don't know. You know, you got to.
I'm always one to forgive the shimmy.
You have to apply a whole different set of rules to people who are always on drugs, people who are always drunk, and people who are British, because they're a completely different animal than us Americans. Okay, you can't take a 20-something-year-old American right now and have him shimmy. It doesn't work. Mick Jagger, he'd get away with that.
Right.
Adam Lambert, not so much. So the second half of his performance was good. And I thought vocally...
Yeah, but Adam Lambert's not exactly a frat boy. I mean, he comes in with eye makeup and the crazy hair, and they're like, he could get away with the shimmy.
I don't think so. I think for him, it's all about the fashion and not about the attitude.
Okay.
I don't think his attitude, because he's very kind of sweet and polite and, you know, right, reserved.
Until he hits that stage.
Until he hits the stage. Then it's all about the show. But so he made it through. Chris Allen made it through, who we hadn't seen before. And
Chris Allen
was the other guy who made it through.
The one who sang the Michael Jackson song?
I believe so, yes. And I thought did a great job.
Which it was rule number one, but he somehow made it.
Didn't you think he sang it well?
I thought it was all right.
Well, you know why? I thought it was good. What?
I don't like the song.
I don't either, but why I thought it was good was because he didn't try to make it a Michael Jackson performance, which is how everyone else has screwed that up when they've tried it before. He just picked a song and sang it the way he would sing it.
I do think that the reason that he made it and not Megan Corkery is because he is an attractive young guy.
And there's more little girls watching.
There's more little
show.
Girls watching than there
Do you think
are.
They're going to bring back the crying girl for Chris Allen? You know, Sanjaya's number one fan. You remember that girl?
Yeah.
They should bring her back. She's probably all grown up now, though. Maybe she doesn't cry so much anymore. She's world weary.
She's probably got a 3-picture deal. Just from that one moment.
With who?
Girl's Gone Wild.
19 Entertainment for
Girl's
the sequel to From Justin to Kelly. And the sequel to that sequel. So he made it through. And then Allison Irohita, a little 16-year-old girl with the red hair.
Who? An amazing voice, but zero personality.
But she's got personality. I just don't know what it is.
Well, in that little interview?
She says like all sorts of little crazy stuff. Oh, yeah, monkeys. Yeah. Oh, hey. It's like, what? Can you get off the flask for a couple hours a week, all right? At least while the cameras are on you. She also needs a makeover. She looks very 80s to me.
Oh, well, they give them those after a while, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But yeah, I can definitely see why the judges said she's reminds them a lot of a young Kelly Clarkson. Because, I mean... You know, I don't know if I want to say her voice is as good as Kelly's, but she definitely has that whole same kind of vibe going.
I would say that her voice is rawer than Kelly's.
It is. It is.
But like you said, yeah, need of a makeup.
Fantastic. And there was, it was, I think it was a no-brainer for her and Adam. And then I thought the other spot was up to either Chris or Megan. So there was really no disappointment with who made it through last week. And then this week, of course, is... This week is a weird week because it's on three nights.
Uh-huh.
It's on tonight and tomorrow when it's going to be just like the previous 2 weeks. And then Thursday night is going to be the wild card. And again, I don't know if they've actually finalized. They keep going back and forth on how they're going to do the wild card show, but I don't think they've finalized it.
I thought I'd heard something about each judge picks like three people they want to come back and perform, and then they pick from that.
But they're picking, and it's all going to happen on Thursday night.
Oh, they're also picking who goes through?
I'm pretty sure, because if they're doing it Thursday, when would we vote and when would the follow-up show
be? Then how can
they
call it American Idol if the Americans can't decide?
Because...
That's an outrage.
Okay. First of all, you need to settle down. Second of all, it's not an outrage because we never really get to vote on who makes it through initially. Just once they're through, you know, and...
We voted on three people last week and three people the week before.
And three people this week.
Why can't we vote on the last three people?
Well, you'll have to ask them. I don't have these answers.
I hate this new way they're doing it.
So group three is tonight. And let's see who that is. You know what I hate? I don't mind, and I'm only saying this because I need to
Because you're trying
stall.
To kill some time?
Yeah, I'm stalling while I look this up. But I don't mind when people bring to light stuff that's happened with American Idol contestants in the past, just like on any reality show, like, oh, so-and-so was in a porno or so-and-so, you know, whatever.
I live for
sexy
that
pictures.
Stuff.
Right. So it's fine. But what I really dislike is when they make it up. There are all these pictures online of Kristen McNamara. You know who she is?
No.
Okay. When in Hollywood Week, the last episode, when they did the sing-offs, she was one of the two blonde girls kept saying, do you want the pretty one or the one who can
sing?
I
liked her.
And I think she's perfectly cute. I don't know why Simon was saying that. There's all these pictures of Kristen McNamara half naked online, and they are all quite obviously faked. They're all photoshopped. It's like somebody photoshopped her face onto other photos of scantily clad women, and one body is
different
from
the next.
That
might work in her favor.
Well, it might work in her favor, but I think that's really mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. So tonight is going to be Alex Wagner Trugman, who, I can't remember what his deal was, but I think he's kind of a goofball. But he had a good voice. Ariana Afzar. I don't remember most of these people. Felicia Barton, I believe, is the one who got through when Joanna Pacitti was disqualified.
Right.
So she was the one who was originally not going to make it through. Mm-hmm. But I actually thought she had a pretty nice voice. So it'll be interesting to see how she does. Jorge Nunez, who quite honestly should not be here.
I think he's good.
I don't think he's good, better than a lot of the people they cut. Again.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he's better than Jamar?
No, but I think he's better than the people that didn't make it last week or the week before.
Well, that's fair enough. Juno Joyner, who, I know the guy didn't pick his name, but come on. JU'NOT. What?
It's ever since that movie about the teenage pregnant girl came out, he changed it.
Yeah, because it used to be just J-U-N-O.
Right, exactly.
But he didn't want to be associated with that. Kendall Beard, who does not have one. Mm-hmm. So that works in her favor. Kristen McNamara, who I just mentioned. Lil Rounds.
Enough said.
Who actually has some big rounds. And I'm sure she'll be showing them off tonight if she wants to get votes. Nathaniel Marshall, who I wish would just fall in a hole.
Which one's that? Oh, the one with the headband.
Captain Headband.
Oh.
I mean,
he'll dig his own grave.
Okay.
He will dig his own grave.
I think you're absolutely right about that.
And jump right in it.
Yes, I think you're right. And he'll be crying the whole time with his hands on his hips. Scott McIntyre, a.k.a. the blind guy.
Okay.
He
won't make it.
By the way, did you...
I will predict right now he won't make it.
By the way, did you like how when they showed the top 36 all doing their little dances, did you like how he threw his cane at the end of his little dance?
Oh, I don't remember that. Really?
That was pretty funny, yeah. Taylor Vifanua, who's the other 16-year-old who they said reminded them of Jordan Sparks.
Yeah.
She's kind of, you know, tall, right. Big girl. But she's a really nice voice, so I think she might
she won't make it
through. You don't think she will?
Nope.
And then Von Smith.
I hope to God not.
He's probably going to fall in the hole with Nathaniel. All right. Okay, fine. Out of those 12, who do you think is going to make it through?
I didn't know some of them. You know, I got to see their performances.
Yeah.
I can't just predict blindly.
You could open it on your computer.
No offense to the blind guy.
You could open it on your computer, which
I know, but I mean, you have a much better memory of that stuff than I do.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll find out tonight how they do. I'm sure it's going to be excruciating in parts, just like the last 2 weeks.
Oh, sure.
I just hope there's no more shimmying and vamping. I can't stand that stuff. Why would anyone do that on this show? That's not what this audience wants to see.
He made it through. It worked for him.
Yeah, whatever. I think he made it through in spite of that. If the whole performance had been like that, I don't think he would have made it through. Honestly. So, and I am bummed that... Do we want to try to make predictions of who's coming back for the wild card?
No.
That's it?
Because I don't remember enough to make, you know...
Again, computer.
I know, but even if I see...
We don't have internet access issues this week, so you have no excuse for not pulling this up. What about from last week? Obviously, Megan Corkery's coming back, don't you think?
Yeah.
From last week?
I don't know.
You want group one?
No.
Group two?
No.
You want group...
None of them are coming back. It's all new people.
No, all new people off the street.
Because, I mean, we don't even know what they're judging it by. They did say that it might not even be people that were in those groups. They might bring Jamar back.
They could bring Jamar back. And, okay, let's put it this way. If they bring back anyone from outside the top 36, Jamar's coming back for sure.
For sure.
Okay, then I think Anoop Desai is going to come back.
Oh, that's a good call.
I think Ricky Brady might come back.
Yeah.
Here's from group one who I think might come back. Anoop, Ricky Brady, Anne-Marie Boscovich, or... Jackie Tone. I think any of those four could come back.
Okay, I will agree with all of those.
Okay. From group two, here's who I think might come back. Jesse Langseth.
Is this a girl or a boy?
A girl.
And what did she say?
She was the one who had she was the other one other than Megan who had the kind of quirky voice. I don't remember what she sang. I'm sorry.
All right, then no. We don't even remember her.
I remember her.
She's forgettable.
But I don't remember what Megan sang either, and she was great.
Megan sang Put Another Record On.
Okay.
By Corin Bailey Ray.
So I think Megan's going to come back. I think Jesse could come back. or I think they might bring back Kai Kalama. I just think they like him. You don't think so?
Oh, I just disagree with it.
Oh, okay. What about Jasmine Murray? Do you think they bring
her
back?
I liked her, yes. My money's on her to come back.
Okay. And you know that Mishavana Henson girl was not too bad either, but she just freaks me out.
What'd
she's got
you
such
say?
A big face. I don't know. I don't know the names of any of these songs. To be honest with you.
Let me just say, the guy who sang Hicktown, not coming back. There will be no more Hicktown.
No, there will be no more Hicktown. Not this season, anyway. I'm sure next season there will be. They always have to have some Podunk people, though, because they need that Kelly Pickler factor.
Right.
They always want to have that.
Well, I'm sure it's a large part of their demographic as well.
Hey, who's country-ish this year so far? Nobody, really. That's unusual, because they've liked to have a rocker and a country person every year for the last few years.
They got one tonight.
Maybe. You know, they're starting to fill those kind of...
That guy who worked on the oil rig, what's his name, Michael Sarver?
Yeah.
He could possibly go that way.
What about the rocker? I don't think we have a rocker yet.
Oh, what's her
Adam
name?
Lambert?
No, Allison Irohita. Definitely rocker.
No. I mean like a Daughtry, you know, kind of guy.
I think I could even counter in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so that's tonight. All right. So I just want to talk about Dollhouse for a minute because, you know, last week it got so much better.
Oh, did it go down?
It went down a little bit only because I didn't like the story this week.
I gotta get out my Dollhouse scorecard.
Yes. If the first one was a C, then the second one was an A.
Okay.
And this one I'm going to give a B minus. No. I'm going to give
it a minus in there. That makes averaging it so much harder.
I'm just going to give it a straight B.
Okay. So we're still at a B.
That's still good. Right. So the reason is I didn't like the story where Echo was a backup singer for a pop diva.
Oh. And you're giving it a B?
Well, but there was other stuff going on that was really cool in this episode. But she says she's a pop singer, and she did sing, which they should never have her do again. I'm just going to say this right now.
Like, what kind of song?
Whatever stupid-ass song was in the episode that they, you know, it's like one of those songs that they wrote for the episode.
Uh-huh.
So bad. And so she sang a little bit, which, again, please just spare us. And the story was that the pop diva was getting threats from, like, a crazy stalker
fan. Who played the
fan.
Pop diva?
I don't remember. It wasn't somebody I recognized, though. Oh. I could look it up if you want me to.
No, keep
or you
talking.
you could look it up. So so she was getting threats from some crazy stalker, and then it turns out at the end that she actually wanted to die because she was so sick of the whole rat race and all this kind of stuff. So she actually had agreed with the stalker. You know, the deal was he would kill her and she would die. That was their arrangement, which doesn't really seem like a great deal. But anyway.
You're going to have to sell me on this B so far.
Okay, but so here's where it got good. There's, you know, the subplot that I mentioned before of the detective, Paul, who's looking for the dollhouse, who believes that it exists and wants to shut it down. And he's been questioning this guy who's like a lackey for the Russian mob. Well, we learn halfway through the episode or wherever through the episode that Russian lackey is actually one of the actives at the dollhouse. And they've programmed him to be this guy to just, you know, bait the detective and lead him astray, which is really cool. But then the other thing that was really weird that I didn't quite get was at the end of the episode, Echo's character that she had been imprinted with, basically what they said was that when they imprint the actives, they do two different things. They give them a personality and then they give them some operating parameters. So like the operating parameters would be protect the diva girl.
Right.
And the personality is the personality. So, but the operating parameters can't be violated. So what was interesting was that you saw her doing stuff that she wasn't supposed to do because she was like giving the diva a hard time about something and the diva fired her, but she didn't stick around. And instead, she actually kidnaps the diva and plans to make a trade with the crazy stalker just to prove a point to the diva, which she was never supposed to do.
Right.
So the people back at, you know, the dollhouse are like freaking out because they don't know
what she's doing.
Yeah, what's she doing and all that kind of stuff. But it was cool that we learned that they're imprinted with the, you know, this parameter, which gives them the ability to sort of think outside the box and get things done as long as it doesn't violate that parameter, which was cool. But then the other thing that I couldn't figure out was they imprinted another one of the actives as a backup in case something went wrong to be like this girl who won the number one fan contest. And so she was kind of hanging around.
Right.
And it was this active who we've seen before named Sierra. What I couldn't figure out was I was reading some of the other reviews that people wrote about the show, and they said that she recognized, that Echo recognized Sierra and made it part of her mission to save her too. I didn't see that happening, but what was weird was that later when they were back at the dollhouse and after they'd been wiped, Sierra and Echo are walking towards each other, and there's some other people milling around who are like the executives and people who, you know, are maybe questionably evil and stuff.
Right.
And Echo sees Sierra, who's walking towards her, and Sierra starts to get a smile on her face, and Echo shakes her head like, don't say anything right now. So it's obvious that she's remembering and retaining some of whatever was supposed to have been wiped,
right,
enough to tell her not to acknowledge her in that respect.
Right.
So there's definitely some cool stuff going on, and that's why I gave it a B, because of those two things, the Russian informer actually being inactive, and the fact that now we're seeing them remember stuff even after they've been wiped. Not the next time they're imprinted, but while they're basically a blank slate.
Right.
So that was really cool. But,
so what about the whole hooker thing?
Don't worry about that. But here's what I don't get is, where can you go with this show? Because either the detective is going to find it and shut it down, or Echo's going to like figure out something.
What channel is this on?
Fox.
Fox is going to shut it down.
Fox probably will shut it down. But you know what I mean? It's like, where, right, on a show like this, and it was the same thing with My Own Worst Enemy, except on that show, they had kind of worked it out because there was really only one person who they were trying to hide the truth from. Everyone else was in on the fact that he had sort of broken.
Right.
And so they were all covering for him, which is fine. But when it's just you or just you and somebody else and all the people who are in charge don't want you to be broken, I don't know how you can maintain that. I mean, even if her handler finds out that she's, you know, figuring stuff out when she's not supposed to be, you could see based on where they're going with the story that he would protect her. But I just don't know how long they can make this go on and not have it be the kind of situation where, oh, okay, these people are all the biggest morons in the world.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's kind of disappointing.
They need to get back to the hooking. Because really, it was on the A episode where the hooking really played a big part.
Right. But it was also no on the C. It was also on the C episode where the hooking played a part.
Well,
unfortunately. And then I have to talk about Battlestar Galactica because, oh, it was just so good. There was some weird stuff. There was some stuff that was not great, but overall it was just another fantastic episode. Boomer came back with Ellen, people who watch the show will know what I'm talking about. Boomer came back with Ellen, and then Boomer basically tricks Tyrol into the biggest, I mean, you know who I'm talking about, Boomer and Tyrol, right? The chief. And Boomer is, you know, his girlfriend in the first season. And she tricks him into doing some stuff that was just so terrible. Meanwhile, Starbuck is like breaking down, and she's having this like kind of nasty conversation with a guy in the bar who's playing the piano. And at first she's kind of antagonistic with him, but then they sort of get to be buddy-buddy. And is this going to ruin it for you when you watch it in a couple of years?
I won't remember this.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
So she...
unless you say, and then they're killed.
No. So by the end of the episode, you realize that the guy doesn't actually exist, and she's basically remembering stuff about her dad.
Oh, so it's like Fight Club.
And is just imagining that he's there. And it was really freaky, and there were some really cool implications about where that goes. But all I'll say is that it was fantastic yet again. And I think that's it for TV, right? Or do we want to?
No.
Okay, that's
it. We'll touch on more TV later.
Okay, we'll touch on. Yeah, I guess so. All right, so we're going to take a break, and we will be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we are back, and we're going to talk about movies now. And Tony has been a major slacker this week. Hasn't seen anything.
Maybe Tony just doesn't want to mention that the only movie he's seen is the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience.
Did you see it? How was it?
That Nick is so dreamy. I don't even know who they are. No, I didn't see anything. I had a very busy work week, so I...
didn't get a chance.
No.
What's the deal with them?
With the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah. Are they actually brothers?
Yes.
How many are there?
Three that I'm aware of.
Okay. So we can't really compare them to the Jackson 5 because they're missing a couple dudes.
Right.
Can't really compare them to the Osmonds because they're not Mormons. No. Or are they?
I don't know. I know nothing about them. Why are you looking at me for information about them?
You brought them up.
I have nothing.
I didn't even know they had a movie until you brought it up.
I didn't realize we were going to spend so much time on it.
All right, fine. Moving on.
I take the joke back.
Moving on. Fine. We had another lovely weekend where somebody babysat so we could go out. Uh-huh. On the town, and we actually went to a movie and dinner afterwards, which was the first time that's happened in 10 months. And unfortunately, the movie that we chose was so bad that it probably would have been better to... No, we didn't leave. Because
you don't ever leave movies, do you?
I have a couple times. In fact,
name
one time...
a movie you've left.
Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis.
That was like in the 80s.
I walked out of it. Well, you said name a movie. Last Temptation of Christ I walked out of. Just ridiculous. That movie was so stupid.
Never saw it.
Oh, my God. Might as well have been a comedy. And there's something else that I walked out of. I can't remember.
Keep those letters coming.
No, I'm serious. It was a terrible movie. I'm not talking about the, you know, what it has to do
with. It's Scorsese.
It was just it was a terrible movie.
Wait, Last Temptation. Yeah, that's the Scorsese.
Yeah.
I didn't want to confuse it with Passion.
I mean, there were like ridiculous scenes where there was like a, you know, a mob scene where somebody was yelling out like, Judas, you know, stuff like that. And it was just dumb. It was stupid. I don't remember what it was about other than the obvious.
Christ.
Yeah. Thanks. That was the obvious part. Okay. So we went to see this movie called Echelon Conspiracy.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Okay, and look
who's in
it. This
was in a theater?
This was in the theater. You've never heard of it? Look who's in it. Shane West, Ving Rhames, Martin Sheen, Ed Burns. I mean, these are people who are usually in fairly decent-sized movies.
Right.
It was so bad that it looked worse than a made-for-TV movie that sci-fi would show. It was terrible. First of all, it looked like it was shot on 16mm, you know, 20 years ago. The tone of the film was just strangely...
How did they get Martin Sheen?
I don't know how they got any of these people.
Well, Ed Burns.
Is he not known for making good choices?
I know every week I have someone I just don't like. Ed Burns is really...
His
voice.
Yeah.
I don't like how every movie he makes that he's written and directed, every movie he makes, he puts himself with the hot chick.
Well, why wouldn't you do that? Woody Allen does that. Who do you think it's more unlikely for, Ed Burns or Woody Allen?
Yeah, Woody Allen is at least talented. I can't stand Ed Burns. How about the one movie where he steals Lauren Holly from John Bon Jovi?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I forgot the name of it. I'll look for it.
My Rockin' Wedding.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
I give you a reason. I just don't like him.
It's fine. I know I've seen him in a bunch of stuff before. I can't even think of what they are.
And he's so whiny. He's always so, in all of his movies, he's so whiny.
He is kind of whiny. I'll give you that.
Just like I'm whining right now, but I'm whining about him. I'm whining about him whining.
Because that makes it better. So this movie was, and here's the weird thing is, you know, the week before I talked about the fact that we watched Eagle Eye on Blu-ray. This movie was basically the same exact story where a CIA computer basically decides to send people on these crazy errands and tasks to, you know, bring down civilization kind of thing. Except they weren't really trying to take over the world. What this was this computer was trying to take over basically everything so that it could use even the, you know, the webcam on your laptop as a way to see what was going on to fight terrorism and stuff like that. But I mean, it was just so terrible. First of all, in all of these movies, even in Eagle Eye, which I did enjoy, in all of these movies, they make the most ridiculous claims that are founded on absolutely nothing. And that's why I am going to start a business as a technology consultant for screenwriters.
Uh-huh.
Because when they come up with these things that if a plot hinges on a piece of technology that's just absolutely ridiculous, but it's set in the real world, then you should change it because right. the whole thing falls apart. Like in Eagle Eye, one of the things that was ridiculous was they said that now the government can spy on you through your cell phone even when it's turned off. Okay, I don't know if people know this, but when something is turned off and it's not transmitting or receiving, there's pretty much no way to get to it.
Right.
They said you'd have to take the battery out. It was just so stupid.
Right.
Okay, likewise in this movie, they said that, you know, the computer was going to take over and so it could even use the camera in your laptop to spy on you. It's like, well, in theory, that could work unless, of course, you put a piece of paper over the camera.
Right.
It's like, would nobody think of that? Like, everyone just, like, resigns to the fact that they're living in a world where the CIA is spying on them. It's like, oh, I wish I could get away from this damn camera. Well, how about putting a piece of paper over it or just closing the lid right. So that it can't see anymore or turning the thing off? Oh, my God, it was so dumb. But absolutely the worst part of the movie was at the end when the computer, the CIA computer, the billions of dollars CIA computer downloads itself to a different computer somewhere else so that they can't turn it off.
Because
apparently there's no power switch at this other facility. Right. So it downloads itself to this other computer. And then And then what happens is Shane West, who's the main character, he's this like computer guy, right? So while Ving Rhames and Ed Burns are outside shooting up the other government people who are trying to come in on them, he's like inside trying to shut down the computer. So you know what he does to get the computer to shut down? First of all, let me just preface this by saying that what the computer has done is, since it's always monitoring everything, it's decided that it's going to, you know, convince these people through anonymous text messages, because that can happen, to do things like it tells this one guy to go to a casino and tells him which slot machine to play so that he makes $3 billion or whatever, and then he's going to take that money and do something else with it.
That's a big payout.
Well, whatever. It was 3 million, actually. It was 3 million euros. So, you know, $4.3 million. Mm-hmm. So it tells these people to do things to help enable its end goal, which is to be able to take over and monitor everything, even without permission. So what he does to convince the computer that it should stop is he says, okay, pull up every article you can on, you know, referendum 2233 or whatever it is, where all these people were saying, you know, this is anti-American, you know, this is bad. And then it realizes that itself is the biggest threat to national security. If it was monitoring everything enough to figure out how to change people's lives to get them to do what it wanted to do, how did it somehow miss all the articles that in the end convinced it to shut itself down?
Right.
I mean, it was just so stupid. So stupid. A complete waste of 2 hours.
How about the fact that you had never heard of it? Why wasn't that a clue as to maybe this isn't a good movie?
Well, honestly, the only reason is because we don't go to the movies that much anymore. So we don't know. We're not as in tune with what's, you know, coming in.
Oh, well, then
respect.
It's a good thing you're doing an entertainment podcast.
Yeah. I was actually, while I was saying the words, hoping that you wouldn't pick up.
Oh, I'm glad
on
people
that.
Are turning to you for their entertainment news.
Felt it coming as I was speaking the words. They were traveling across my lips. In the back of my head, I heard the little guy going, no.
The Ed Burns movie was No Looking Back. And you know what? I have to give Ed Burns a little bit of props for this. You go on IMDb, and I looked under Ed Burns, and there he was. But it just showed like a few TV shows he was on. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Where's all the other stuff? He has another listing under Edward Burns.
Okay.
So maybe he realizes how annoying he is. And he's starting over.
Was he also the one who had done
a
couple TV shows? That's a little strange.
I mean, his picture was the same, unless they
That's
put
so weird.
Edward Burns' picture.
Well, you know, IMDb can be, it's kind of like Wikipedia in that it can be updated by anybody. So maybe he just never saw the other one and shut it off.
I don't know.
I'd like to
think that he realizes how annoying he is.
Please, people, take my advice and do not see Echelon Conspiracy. Don't make the same mistake that I did.
Was this playing in like a regular theater, or did you have to go to like an art house?
Yeah, we had to sneak into the basement of some place under a Chinese restaurant to see it because we thought it was going to be that good. Also, a new trailer has been released for Terminator Salvation.
It looks really cool.
It does look really cool. It's on pause.com, so if you want to go on there, you'll see it posted on there. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it there.
What I like about it is it's really blurring the lines between like the machines and the humans.
Yeah. I let me just say for the record, I do not like reading too many spoilers and things about either the making of something or the plot before I go see a movie, because I really love movies and I love to be surprised by them and I love to be, you know, I love to lose myself in them. So I feel, because I don't forget stuff very easily, so I feel
you're
like
you're actually kind of like obsessive about that.
I am. I'm very obsessive about it. I get very upset when people try to tell me stuff about a movie before it comes out because I don't want to know. I want to be surprised by it. And, you know, actually, I'm going to say that this is somewhat of a spoiler alert in case you are also OCD about that like I am. Leave and come back 20 seconds from now, okay? I did not realize that this was about the turning point when the machines first make the first human Terminators, like Schwarzenegger was in the first Terminator movie. Okay, you can come back now. So I'm not going to talk about that again.
Well, that's not really a spoiler.
Well, it is if you didn't know that.
No, but I mean, that doesn't really give anything away.
Okay. Well, whatever. I didn't know that. And I thought that was kind of neat seeing that in this preview.
Right.
But it does look very gritty. And you know what's so funny is, you know, they posted the video on Gizmodo too, and they make fun of the fact that the movie is directed by McGee. I don't know why anyone would make fun of that. I think the guy's a good director.
Charlie's Angels.
The first Charlie's Angels was a lot of fun. Was not going to go down in history as a great movie, but it was supposed to be campy and stupid. It wasn't like it was accidental.
And so, okay, keeping that in mind, is that who you trust your next Terminator movie with?
Well, the point is, if the director sets out to do something and he does it, then yeah. Why not? Because he also does Chuck, and there's, I mean, he's done some episodes of Chuck because that's his show. You know, he's the executive producer or whatever. And there have been a lot of good, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff in that show.
But if you were, okay, you were making the next Terminator movie and you had a list of directors you wanted to go to, would McGee be on it?
Well, it depends. If you were paying the bills, wouldn't you want to see who's the most passionate and what their vision is? I mean, you know that he can produce. Mm-hmm. So the question is then, what is it that he wants to produce, and do you think he's capable of pulling it off? And I think as long as you like what it is that he says that he wants to do, I think the answer to that is probably yes.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, do you have a different opinion based on seeing that preview?
No. I mean, I think the preview looks great. And I actually have nothing against them. I'm just, you were kind of coming down on the naysayers who.
Right. Well, I'm saying I don't see what in his history.
Well, because he hasn't really done anything in his history to prove that he can pull something off. Like, this is a huge property.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, you know, I don't.
I mean, you kind of wanted, you know, a Ridley Scott or a.
Yeah, and actually.
James Cameron.
I'm glad you brought that up because, well, James Cameron, you know, he's busy. He's got other stuff going on.
what, his like third Titanic movie?
No, he's working on that movie Avatar, which is supposed to be huge.
Oh, he's been working on that forever.
Well,
take a break.
Take a break. Make another film.
I'm thankful that it didn't go in the hands of like a Tony Scott or a Michael Bay, God forbid.
Tony Scott. Although Tony Scott can do some good work, can't he? Didn't he do Beverly Hills Cop?
No, that's not Tony Scott.
No. I know he didn't direct it. Martin Brest directed it. But didn't he produce it?
That doesn't mean he can direct.
No, that's true. What has McGee directed other than Terminator Salvation? Chuck, he did the pilot, which was fantastic. We Are Marshall, I didn't see that. You're right. He really hasn't done a lot as a director. Well, I guess this will be the thing to decide whether or not he can.
Oh, well, let's give him a huge property and we'll just judge him, you know.
Well, hey, got nothing else going on.
Hey, I'm not trying to say anything negative.
Let's put it this way.
I'm just saying you can understand why people would be, you know, have their.
Yes, I can. But let's put it this way. There's no way it could be worse than Terminator 3.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
I agree completely.
Okay. And the preview does make it look really good. The other thing that's interesting about the preview is it makes me wonder if that scene where Christian Bale is yelling is the same scene where he started yelling at the assistant director because he was pretty high-headed there. But it does look really, really cool. Now, is the whole thing like really gray like that? Was it shot in black and white? No, it's in color.
No, it's in color.
Okay.
This is a colorblind thing again. Are we going back to the colorblind?
To my deficiency. You know, Oprah's just turned me into such a victim.
What?
That's what she does.
How can you blame? You don't even watch Oprah.
She brings out the victim in everybody. So I'm bringing out my colorblind victim. What was the other thing we were going to talk about?
Well, we were going to mention again to remember next week's episode, we will be discussing the Watchmen movie, which we're going to see together.
Yes,
that's true. And so we'll spend a little extra time on that. And it will be interesting because I have read the book and Lou has not.
And I have not because reading that book would involve reading.
And also it would be a spoiler for you.
That's true. And I wouldn't want that because then I would
it'd be a huge spoiler. You would know everything.
No, it'll be interesting because it'll, it's always interesting to see when people go see a movie and talk about did it live up to the original source material or whatever, which I never care about because I would rather see a movie than read a book anyway in terms of the kind of entertainment that I like. I don't like reading fiction.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I've read very few fictional, you know, books that I thought were really great. Because, I, to be perfectly honest, I really don't care.
That
if
just means you're not a reader.
But I read a ton of stuff. I just don't read fiction.
Yeah, but I mean.
No, here's what it means. It means that I don't care if somebody has a good vocabulary and spends four paragraphs describing what somebody's kitchen looks like.
You know what that means is that you would rather someone spell everything out for you by showing you rather than you.
No, because I don't like fluff in written material because it's
not
a complete.
Not all written material has fluff.
No, really. I guarantee you, I could pull half the pages out of any novel, and you would still get the same story.
Yeah, but you're taking away the whole like setting it up in your mind.
But I guess the reason I don't like that.
I don't think you're really going to win an argument saying that literature is fluff.
I'm not saying literature is fluff. I'm saying I don't like the fluff in literature. That's my point. Because
you want it all spelled out for you.
No, because usually when I'm reading something, I'm imagining how it looks.
Uh-huh.
And then if they go off in a different direction than what I was thinking, it bothers me. You know
what
I mean?
That sounds like a control issue.
Well, maybe it is. I'm still allowed.
So what if you're watching a movie and you're like, I would not have put that chair there.
But see, the difference is that the details in that sense you can ignore because unless the chair is central to what you're seeing on screen, it doesn't really matter. The chair is just there. Whereas if you have to sit there and read about the stupid chair, then you had to spend time on it. And that's what I don't like. I don't like
Is it that you feel you've wasted like 2 pages of your time?
Well, probably. I mean, you know.
Because, I mean, there are some books, and I hate to go to this one because it's so overhyped.
Yeah.
But there are some books.
You're going to go with Harry Potter?
Yes. I will say the Harry Potter books are better than the movies. Well, I only read the first one.
Yeah.
And I've seen all the movies. But I've actually read The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Which I hate to go to this because it's you know, a lot of it's just nonsense. But it's very interesting nonsense.
Right.
And there's no way you could make a movie of that and have the same effect that the book has.
Right.
Which is why the movie sucked.
Yeah. But you know, and I think, too, that a lot of times if a book is really has that much depth and detail to it, it might be better served as a miniseries or something like that, for instance. You know what I mean? I mean, could you have seen that done better as a miniseries in the right hand?
No,
than with
I think it's
film?
Only good as a book.
Really?
Yeah.
See, the problem that I had with The Da Vinci Code wasn't that, oh, you know, it wasn't a well-produced movie. I just thought the story was terrible.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that makes the story so good is all the historic references and all the theories they have about pieces of art or just about historical theories. Those are so detailed in the book and really set the scene for the story.
Right.
That they can't do that in a movie. And that's what the movie lacked. And so you watch the movie and you're like, really? That's what, you know... I mean, I had read the book, so I knew what it was missing. But like, that was the most entertaining part of the book was the, like, for example, there's like probably 10 pages devoted to the theories and myths and mysteries around the Mona Lisa.
Right.
None of that's in the movie, but in here, it's so interesting and it's so intriguing. Like, it's really like a page turner because you're like, wow, I'm sure most of it's just, you know,
made up. Yeah.
But it's so entertaining and interesting that...
Yeah, I can see what you're talking about, because then if you do that in a movie, then you're into the exposé from hell situation.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, first of all, it would be like a six-hour movie.
Right. But see, I guess the thing is that with... And I can't apply this to every movie that does this, but in that particular movie, I didn't like any of the choices they made about what those things were, because first of all, a lot of them just didn't make any sense. You know, again, I forget you didn't,
and that's because they left a lot of the book out, and they had to. I mean,
but see, even this as a general starting point for none of that makes sense. Da Vinci lived 1400s.
All right,
you want to look it up
sure.
While I'm talking? But the point is that he lived. You know, well, let's look it up first because the point that I'm going to make hinges on when he was alive, basically. Right now, Tony is opening a web page on his computer, and he is going to Wikipedia.
1450s.
Okay, right. So I was right. He's alive in the 1400s.
That's when he
was born. Yeah. So let me ask this question: how would Da Vinci have any knowledge of anything that had to do with Jesus?
Because the whole story is about the Catholic Church covering up the truth about Jesus, and Da Vinci was at a time when it was still... That's what the whole movie's
about. Okay, right, I understand that. But why would he have any knowledge 1,400 years later of what went on at the time of Jesus?
Because he had actual evidence.
From where?
That was either passed down or that was left.
But that's what I'm saying. How would that have ended up in his hands? That's what didn't make any sense to me.
It's been so long since I've read the book. But, I mean, it makes sense in the book.
Well, okay. They at least explain it.
Completely.
See, and
everything
what,
is explained to a T in that book.
See, and I guess maybe it comes down to a stylistic preference too, because did you ever hear when George Lucas was talking about some of the decisions they made about what to show and what not to show in, let's say, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi in terms of some of the space scenes? He said that he had a preference to show stuff in passing rather than to dwell on the effects. Because, at least back then, when he wasn't a crazy person, his whole goal was to tell the story and do it in a way that technically best told the story. So, like, when you'd see, you know, Han and the Millennium Falcon leaving the rest of the fleet, like in Jedi or something. It was really cool, but they didn't really like focus on it. It was just like, okay, now he's leaving, and then they go on to the next part of the story. And that's one of the reasons I hated Da Vinci Code, was because in something like Alias, which had a lot of the same story elements as the Da Vinci Code, but I thought it did it a lot better, the what the little devices were and their relationship to history were almost incidental. They didn't spend too much time on it. It was like...
And that's completely what the movie's missing. Now, I'm trying to look right now. They were showing like...
But 10 pages of that in the book, that's not incidental. That's 10 pages of a book. I mean, that's 10 pages. Whereas this was, okay, this guy had this thing and supposedly it did this. That's all I need to know. Because if you start getting too much into it, it's going to fall apart. Because
no,
there's no way you can explain it.
That's what completely explains everything.
But the problem is it's BS. If you then stop reading the book and go and start researching, you're like, well, there's no way that could be real because of this.
Well, it
that's
doesn't claim
saying.
To be a piece of nonfiction. It's a piece of fiction.
Well, I don't know if that's true, though, because the reason a lot of people said that they loved it was because, well, could this really be true? And that's where
the possibility is there.
Yeah.
But we have we have no hard evidence.
The other thing, though, is I like to read a lot about conspiracy theories and the occult and UFOs and whatever, all that kind of stuff that's related.
Well, then you
would
have loved that book because that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like it when writers get really bogged down in their own grammar and vocabulary. It bugs the crap out of me.
Every writer has a different style, though.
I just don't care.
You can't say that about all writers.
No. I'm saying that that's one of the things that bothers me about reading fiction, is there's always fluff. There's always fluff somewhere, and that bugs me. Because, again, when you're watching a movie or TV show, you can just tune it out. If you don't like the fluff, you don't have to pay attention to
it.
Well,
in a book, you could just...
But you can't because it's not linear. You don't know when to come back.
Right.
Then you might have to go back and start reading again. I'm not telling people that they shouldn't read or that books are bad or not a good art form. I'm just saying I don't enjoy them as much.
Okay.
So, although I would like to read the Watchmen graphic novel after we see the movie.
Oh, I'll own it too.
Okay, cool. You're not going to charge me?
It's got pictures.
Oh, even better. All right, cool. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back and wrap things up in the mashup, or as Tony likes to call it, the mishmash. We'll see you in a minute. Okay, now that
I had
to
read some stuff to Lou, he didn't want to read it.
Well, I don't know how to read. Apparently, I don't know how to read. So Tony read me a story. And actually, that was a pretty good story. I mean, a monkey who's curious. That is so cool. So cool. Where do you get the name George, though?
From the man in the yellow hat.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, that guy.
See,
I wish they would just make a movie. Actually, didn't they make him?
Yeah. Will Ferrell was the man in the yellow hat.
Really?
Wasn't he?
It was a live. They made a live action Curious George.
I want to say that.
Or was
say
it
that
a cartoon?
The monkey
and he did the voice.
Was
CG?
CG, right?
Will you know? Will Ferrell may be CG. I've never seen him in person. Have you?
No, but there are people who have.
Well, you know, in Hollywood, what does that say? Could all be lies, subterfuge.
Would you like to start with the mashup?
Yeah, I thought you were looking something up.
I will. I'll come back to it.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go off on iTunes iPhone again because we have to do that every week. So now my iTunes has been corrupted for the 9th time in 7.5 months. And here's the thing that really bugs me about it is I realized that if your iTunes library gets corrupted and it rebuilds it, it gets rid of all your podcast subscriptions. So if you have subscribed to us in the past and your iTunes library has gotten corrupted and iTunes had to rebuild it, you have to go back and resubscribe. And that doesn't just apply to us. It applies to any podcast that you subscribe to. So just keep that in mind. And if it does, if you do have that happen, we would really appreciate it if you go back and resubscribe again, because you won't be otherwise. And I'm sorry, I'm like burping up my lunch.
Delicious. Oh, by the way,
it was the first time.
Curious George was animated.
Okay. So he did the voice.
He did the voice.
All right. And then
obviously neither of us have seen that.
No. And then there's been news in the past week about the fact that plasma TVs may be kind of going away.
I haven't heard that news.
Yeah, well, Pioneer a couple of weeks back said that they were going to stop making plasmas, and they were one of the biggest manufacturers of them. They had a lot of really high-end plasma sets, and they said it just didn't make sense for them anymore. So
now what's the reason?
I think just because...
Too expensive to make?
Well, what happens is, you know, originally when... Originally, plasmas were always... Plasma technology was always used for sets over 40 inches because LCD technology couldn't generate a good enough rate of return. Uh-huh. You know, there were too many failures in each batch of panels that it didn't make sense to use LCD. But, you know, like everything else, the technology keeps improving and they figure out new ways to do things. And now LCD TVs can be just as big as plasma TVs anyway. So since they're so good and there are so many more people who are familiar with it and comfortable with it, you know, LCDs have just been outselling plasmas by a lot. And I think it just didn't make sense to keep manufacturing.
Weren't there some features that were better on a plasma than were on LCD?
Yeah, well, you know, it has. I think the contrast ratio was always better on plasmas, but I think LCDs have largely caught up with that.
Okay. Because I know when I was searching for our big TV, the reason we went with LCD was because they said you don't want a plasma in a brightly lit room.
Oh, so maybe they've got glare issues. I don't know. But even a lot of LCDs don't look great in a brightly lit room. But whatever.
I listened to one guy before I spent $3,000.
And he was making $5 an hour. Right. So what does that tell you?
Or a commission off of me.
Yeah, well, that's true. But so anyway, so after Pioneer announced that they weren't going to be making plasmas anymore, Vizio announced the same thing. And I don't know if you saw this, but Vizio is actually the third largest manufacturer of plasma or of flat panel TVs in the United States. They sell more flat panels than Panasonic.
You know the reason for that.
They're cheap.
And they're at Costco's and Walmart's.
That's right. But they're at Costco's and Walmart's because they're cheap.
Right.
And people like to buy stuff for less money because then they have more left over. So Pioneer and Vizio said they're going to be out. And then there was a rumor, well, it wasn't really a rumor. One of the vice presidents at LG in Korea said that they were going to stop doing it. And then I guess he got his knuckles slapped or something like that because somebody else from T3 talked to LG and they said, no, they're going to still keep making plasmas, but they might stop selling them in the United States because the market isn't that good for them here. So they may be going away. And, you know, we're supposed to see all these crazy new technologies like OLED screens, you know, organic right. LED screens. But they, you know, the only thing that you can get right now is like that little, what is it, 7 or 8 inch Sony that costs like $2,500. Nobody's going to buy that.
Well, first of all, Sony's in so much trouble right now. But second of all, what kind of success are they going to have introducing that kind of thing now with the economy where, you know?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. They have to actually start manufacturing them enough to get the, you know, quantities of scale to work in their favor price-wise, or the economies of scale, I mean. So whatever. But so if you're thinking about buying a plasma, you may be able to get a good deal pretty soon because if they're going to start closing them out, then, you know, maybe now's the time to buy. And then the other thing is that new Macs were announced today. The new Mac Mini is $599, or the upgraded one starts at $799. Here's the thing that sucks about it. The only difference between the base model $599 and the base model $799 is that the RAM is upgraded from 1 gig to 2 gigs, and the hard drive is upgraded from 120 to 320 gigs.
So what sucks?
Well, it's a
$200. That's a pretty good deal for $200.
No, it's not. That's $40 worth of upgrades that they're charging $200 for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you just went out and bought
right, that's true.
RAM and a hard drive, you'd be spending at most an extra $40 to go from 1 gig to 2 gigs and to go from 120 gigs to 320 gigs. And yet they're charging five times that much. They're charging $200 for that upgrade. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But the other thing is that the... And they announced some new Mac Pros, but I don't really care about those, so I'm not going to talk about that. But they announced that the new iMacs are cheaper than the old iMacs, which is amazing for Apple. The new 24-inch is $1,499. I think it used to be $1,799. And the 20-inch, which used to be $1,499, is now $1,199. So that's a good deal, you know, comparatively speaking. And that's really all I've got for technology. You got anything else you want to throw in here?
No.
The Geneva Auto Show started, though, so check online because I'm going to post some pictures of some of the cool concept cars, and some of them are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you making that face? What?
It's just so it's funny how you love your cars.
I do. A lot of people love cars.
It makes me giggle.
The reason this country is in so much trouble is partly because so many people love cars.
And houses they can't afford.
Well, that's a whole different issue. There's this great, you know, I'm gonna find a link to it and I'll post this too. There's a great Flash movie presentation that somebody made to explain in very basic terms the reason why we're in the credit situation we're in now.
Uh-huh.
It's really well done. It's, again, it's like 5 minutes long, and I don't care much for the voiceover guy's voice. I mean, I think he was a little too dry, but it's a really, you know, again, very oversimplified explanation of why we're in the situation we're in, and it's not intended to be funny or anything like that. It's very straightforward. But if you know,
could it just be someone's slant?
Well, everything is somebody's slant, yeah. But it explains the process. I mean, there's definitely in his tone of voice editorializing over why it's a problem, right. But it's not you know, politically biased,
okay,
or anything like
that's
that.
That's what my question
is. It's talked about, you know, banks and buyers and brokers and, you know,
right,
customers and stuff like that. But no, it's not politically biased. It doesn't place blame on any, you know, individuals, just the different aspects of business in our economy that are at
right
fault. But I should post a link to that because it's really cool. No, a lot of, you know, the issue with cars in this country is that because of the big three automakers, largely, they went on this whole kick decades ago about how, you know, really, if you really want to be a good American, you have to own your own car. Whereas most of the rest of the world, especially near urban areas, would much rather just have good public transportation.
Right.
And that's why in a lot of cities, the public transportation sucks here and everyone's got their own cars. I mean, we have way more cars per capita than in most other places in the world. And that's part of our problem, you know, in terms of pollution, in terms of dependence on foreign oil, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you sitting over there making fun of me because I like cars is a little bit ridiculous in this country. What?
Because I just thought you were going to – I thought it was another rant that was going to –
No, it was no rant. I just said I was going to post some cool pictures of cool cars. That's all. You got a problem with that?
Nope.
All right. All right, on to our best and worst entertainment moments of the week. You want to start with your worst?
I will. And talk about placing blame. My worst entertainment moment of the week is waking up and can't – you know, I had worked last Wednesday night. And I had woken up Thursday morning to, was it last Wednesday? Top Chef is on Wednesdays,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woken up Thursday morning, all excited to see the finale of Top Chef. And then Lou decides to put, well, did you do it through Twitter or through Facebook?
I did it through Twitter, and I've since turned that off, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, his Twitter was also, it was also your Facebook status.
It was
status
updating my Facebook status, yeah.
Right. And Lou blew. Who won Top Chef? Didn't even have to watch
Can
it.
Can you please rephrase that?
Right. Oh, excuse me.
I would like to point out that I've never actually even met Hosea.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He had ruined it for me.
I posted, because Tony knew that I wanted Hosea to win, and what I posted was Top Chef turned out the way I had hoped for. So then he
right
knew that Hosea had won. And it was a little bit of an anticlimactic episode.
Yes.
And it was a little
weird.
Did
you read some of the criticisms online, though, about him winning?
Not really.
And Colicchio had to come out and defend him?
No, the only thing that I read was Aisha Tyler's blog about it. And
there are a lot of people that really feel that, you know, even though Stefan's last meal, you know, didn't live up
right
to Hosea's, that he should have won because he really was the Top Chef.
Right, but here's the thing. It's every season has been the same way as far as how they do the judging. And they've discussed it sometimes during the show, not just on the website afterwards. Colicchio has always said that it should always be about that meal and only that meal, unless they just can't decide on a winner, and then they can factor in past performance.
Okay,
so
well,
that,
then you know what? Then they should change the name of the program to Top Chef of the Last Meal, because he was not the Top Chef.
Well, if you just go by how many challenges each won, then that's absolutely correct.
Right.
You know, and beyond that, it's kind of hard to judge because, you know, food is just as subjective as any other art form.
Yes and no. I mean,
if you, okay, it's one thing if somebody screws up, and both of them had their screw ups.
I
mean, come on. In all the episodes where Stefan was really overly cocky, he screwed up. You know, there were times when he didn't cook his fish right. You know, he didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. Just like Hosea. But if you're just looking at two different dishes, and especially if you're not cooking the same thing, if one person's cooking a fish dish and one person's cooking a pork dish, and you happen to hate pork, well, guess which one you're
right
going to like
no
better. So,
but you can certainly see through their own education and through their own style, which is, even though you might not like pork and you like fish a lot better,
right,
you could certainly see that the pork dish was probably prepared better than the fish dish.
Yeah, right. But I mean, you know, as we were going through the season, actually about probably a third of the way through the season, I noticed that I wanted to usually eat Leah's food a lot because a lot of the stuff that she made, you know, I thought looked really good. I knew that she wasn't going to win.
Right.
And then, but Hosea also made a lot of stuff that I wanted to, you know, that looked like something I would order on a menu.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Stefan made a lot of stuff that I would never want to try. It looked really pretty. You know, and everyone talked about how technically he was very proficient, but still it was not, you know, and again, that goes to my personal preference.
And it also comes from the fact that he's not American. So really what he grew up with is different than what we're used to.
Right. Right. Well, that's true. Although usually in the challenges where I would say that came most into play, that was, you know, they were all on kind of an even playing field. Like if it's like, you know, this week you have to cook with this bizarre ingredient, they were all doing that kind of thing. In fact, the only one really that I can think of was the eel, which they all had to do, and I wouldn't have wanted to eat that no matter who made it. And when he had the alligator, and I've had gator before and I like it, so that wouldn't have come into play. But yeah, I mean, Stefan obviously won more challenges, but his dessert really looked lame.
Oh, it was.
It was so lame.
It was.
And wasn't that the same meal where he made the frozen fish slices?
Yeah.
And I mean, come on. I don't even like seafood, and I know you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Don't take a fresh piece of fish
and
freeze it.
Well, what he did is he did what you need to do for a meat carpaccio.
Okay.
Which is freeze it and slice it.
Okay, but then,
yeah. Oh, no, I'm not saying what he did is right.
How about you make something where you don't have to freeze the fish?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I got to tell you, I was not a huge Carla fan. You know that? I felt so bad for her when she
realized she had
screwed right
up.
In front of us. Realized she screwed up and started crying. And it was a touching moment because Stefan actually showed that he had a heart.
Right.
I mean, I didn't think that was self-serving at all.
No.
Him
no,
getting
no.
upset for her. I mean, I thought he was going to start crying for her.
He did a little.
Yeah, that was a really good TV moment, I have to say.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her because I think, honestly, she had as good of a chance to win as either of those guys. She had been so strong the last few weeks. And again, a lot of times her food wasn't what I'd order, but you could tell that it was good. You know, it was well-prepared food.
Right.
I just can't figure out why she would have let that other girl talk her into doing stuff that she wouldn't have done herself. Is it just that she was too nice and didn't want to say no?
No, I don't think that she didn't want to say no. I think she, you know, took her advice and, you know, she was open to...
Yeah.
But I mean, she went with it, and it was the wrong idea.
But the main course, the middle dish, was prepared in a way that she had never done anything before.
True.
And if you're trying to win 100 grand and the title of Top Chef in the last episode, where it's down to three people, I think that's a really bad time to make that kind of decision.
Right. Well, it cost
and
her.
And it cost her.
Yeah. Because I really think that she would have won had she not made that mistake.
You're probably right. Both of those mistakes, because her dessert was screwed up for the same reason.
Right.
She was going to do something, and then that other girl, what was her name, Casey?
Who was the other girl?
I don't know. I didn't see that. That was the one season I didn't see. But I do apologize for ruining for you. I didn't think, in my defense, I didn't think you would see that update, because...
And then, of course, I texted him, thanks for my worst entertainment moment of the week, so he knew what was
so
coming.
So I knew what was coming. well, I've already talked about it, but my worst entertainment moment of the week was seeing Echelon Conspiracy. It was just so bad. It was just so dumb.
You know what? I'm going to go, while you're... Talk a little
More about... Jonathan Pryce was also in it. I mean, there's another big name.
Talk a little more about Echelon. What's the name of it?
Echelon Conspiracy.
I've never even heard of it.
Echelon Conspiracy. I really think that it may have been filmed in the 60s. I believe they got all these actors to go back in time, filmed it in the 60s, and then brought the finished product back here. Because it was just so bad, I can't figure out how it looked and sounded as bad as it did. Oh, and you know what you should look up if you're looking it up? Look up who did the music, and then say their name on the program, because they should never be hired to do music ever again. It was terrible. It was the worst. I think I could have composed better music, and I can't even read music.
I'm right now going to give you the Rotten Tomatoes. You know, Rotten Tomatoes
A
conglomerate of all reviews, They give it a percentage. We're going to see
how they rated it. I'm sorry.
That would be...
I apologize for the silence.
Not even many reviews.
How many?
5 reviews.
Wow.
All of them rotten. 0%.
0%?
Yes. Echelon Conspiracy is a more evocative title than a movie this stupid deserves.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
In fact, this person right here, Gary Brown from Houston Community Newspapers. Echelon Conspiracy is a pale imitation of Eagle Eye, not exactly a good movie to begin with.
Yeah. And Eagle Eye, you know, if you ever see that, Eagle Eye was actually fun. It was
not
a great movie.
According to Gary Brown.
And like I said, ridiculous because, no, you cannot snoop on somebody through a cell phone when the power is off. So that was dumb. I mean, there was a lot of dumb stuff in Eagle Eye, trust me. But if you can get past that enough to just enjoy what else is going on in the film, it was okay. It wasn't horrible. This movie was horrible. So yeah. That was my worst entertainment of the moment of the week. The entertainment moment of the week. There's two M's in that sentence. They confuse me.
Yes.
Much like books. Anyway, what was your best entertainment moment of the week?
You know what? I wanted to go, you know, we never touch on video games when we talk about best entertainment moments of the week.
True.
So I started playing Fallout again. Remember, I got Fallout when it first came out.
And just so everyone knows, we're talking about Fallout 3.
Fallout 3, yes. Right. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I want them to think you're playing on the Apple IIgs again.
And I got Fallout 3 when it first came out, and I gave it a try. And I think I just went into it expecting it to be more of an action or a shooter than an actual RPG.
Right.
So I got frustrated with it right away and just gave up. And then I ordered it through Gamefly. I wanted to give it another chance, especially after, I mean, by the time I'd given up, you had just started playing, and then, you had said some good stuff about it, and then, you know, reading, it made a lot of people's list of, like, best games.
Of last year, yeah.
I'm so used to not talking about games at this moment. I've gotten back into it, and I'm really enjoying it this time.
Yeah, now, how far are you into it?
Not very. I mean, I'm out of the vault, and okay. I'm past the little school.
Okay, right. Did you go into the town yet?
I'm just about there.
Oh, okay.
But it's great how you can just approach a game with a different attitude and then get something completely different out of it.
Yeah. I'm still disappointed by it overall only because, you know, and I'm not giving anything away by saying this, but you can finish the main quest of that game without seeing, you know, 75% of what's in there. And I kind of think that's a waste. Plus, at least one of the good things in Oblivion, for instance, even though there was a lot of stuff about Oblivion that I did not like, once you finish the main quest, you could still just keep going. And what was cool, too, was that, you know, people would come up to you in town and say, hey, you're the one who defeated the demon. Thanks. You know, it was like kind of funny stuff like that. Whereas this just ends.
Right.
So, you know, there's this add-on, the Operation Anchorage, which I guess if you know, and if anyone's played it and knows different, please let us know because I haven't tried it yet. But I would guess that you'd have to load a save game before you finished to be able to get to it or something. Because I don't know else you can't.
I don't know. Maybe it senses that you have that add-on, and so it'll start.
You mean maybe they patch the whole game in general, so it'll just start up again.
Start up again and then give you the option to just do that.
Yeah. See, there was some really cool story stuff in Fallout 3 that I really liked that they never went anywhere with, and I was really disappointed by that. Yeah. But whatever, you'll see. Yeah. Now, so you haven't even gone into the town that's right there?
No.
Oh, okay. So you just really started playing it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My best entertainment moment of the week, I hate to do it, but I'm going to go back to Battlestar Galactica.
Oh. Why don't we just call it your best Battlestar Galactica moment of the week?
Because
this is the third time.
You've already suggested that, and I said no before. it was so good. I mean, of all the stuff that I saw in the last week, it was the most entertaining overall and most, you know, it had the most kind of wow moments to it. And really, I feel that's what the best entertainment moment of the week should be all about.
That and no reading.
And no reading, right.
Right.
There are very few subtitles. I usually fast forward past the credits because it's on the DVR.
Very nice.
So I don't have to read anything.
That's it?
That's all I got. Yeah. No, it was great. I really liked what was kind of cool about it was that Boomer totally played Tyrell, which was great because you didn't see that coming while you were watching the episode. And the whole thing with Starbuck, because, you know, I really like her, and I like Katie Sackhoff. I think she's a great actress in that part. I've seen her in a couple other things where I thought she was okay or she was pretty good or whatever, but I think she's great as Starbuck. And they've given her a lot of really great material, but the character is sometimes annoying, you know, on purpose. because she can be really grating and really needling and stuff like that sometimes. So it started out in one of those episodes where I thought that she was just going to be annoying throughout the episode, and then it turned out to be such a cool part of the story and the mythology of everything. And, you know, there's only three episodes left, and then it's done. And so it was really cool.
Do you think it's completely done then, or do you think they'll come back with a movie or something?
No, it's done.
Oh, really?
I mean, as far as I know.
So it's going to come to complete conclusion, closure.
Right. That's what they've said. Now, they could, you know, I guess they could decide that they don't want to do that, but
right.
No, I don't want to speak for them. I don't even know them. But no, I mean, they've been saying for the last 2 years that this is going to be the last season. And then that's it. They're finished. So I don't know. What do you think they have to do, like the Next Generation or something?
No, it's been so successful. I can't believe that they just.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally respect them for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Babylon 5 did that too. I guess the guy who did that, you know, it was always supposed to be these five or seven seasons or whatever it was.
Right.
And that was it, because that was the story. So that's, you know, that's cool. And they definitely have not had 100% success on Battlestar Galactica with. You know, especially in some of the previous seasons, there have been some very fluffy episodes. And, you know, I don't like those any more than I like reading fluff in books.
I know. You are against the fluff altogether.
I don't like, the only fluff
I
like.
You don't use fabric softener, do you?
I don't. Not anymore, because I found out I was allergic to it. The only fluff I like, you know, the fluff that you eat. Marshmallow.
Fluffernutter.
Fluffernutter. Exactly. Yeah. That's good stuff. But, yep, so that's it for me. Are you still looking up stuff over there?
No.
You look like you're very busy on that computer.
I'm playing Bejeweled Blitz.
No, you are not.
I'm not.
I know you're lying about that. So I think we're done.
That's
unless
it.
You have anything else.
No.
All right, so next week, again, we will be talking about Watchmen, which we're going to see together, I think, on Saturday, since Warner Brothers did not come through with our free passes to the press screening.
It's all right. We're still newbies.
Yeah.
They'll recognize our power when we achieve it.
Afterwards, when we achieve it. Shh, you're giving away the secrets. Okay, so thanks again for tuning in, and stay tuned for next week's episode. And remember, if you have not subscribed yet on iTunes, please do so. And head over to Facebook, look up pause.com, and send us a friend request on there, or just, you know, become a fan, I guess, is what you have to do.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Getting my terminology confused. All right, thanks again. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.